on the attribute of God. Speaking of God's perfections, he is perfectly holy. He is perfect in perfect love and perfect in truth. And so we're going to look at holiness today. And we're going to give a definition of holiness. And then we're going to look at some verses. Okay? First of all, holiness would be that he is separated from all that is unclean and evil. Okay? Holiness is that he is separated from all that is unclean and evil. Number two, he is positively pure and thus distinct from all others. And this would have two aspects. A, purity of being and nature. Purity of being and nature. B, it would be purity of will and act. All right, let's look at some of these verses. But as we think about this, if God is holy, okay, and he is separated from all evil, okay, then what does he think of evil? If he is separated from evil, then can we have fellowship with evil and have fellowship with God? Okay? Can you think of a verse that says that? How about 1 John chapter 1? First John 1, verse 5 and 6 and 7. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie. Who are we lying to? We're lying to ourselves. We're lying to others. Right? We're lying to ourselves. We're lying to others. Okay, it says, we lie and do not the truth. If we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. All right? Here's a great passage that is speaking of this truth that just lost my lesson here. What did I do with it? That we cannot, God cannot have fellowship with evil. He is separate from evil. Okay? Now, it's interesting that he says that we lie and do not the truth. Because we like to lie to ourselves. And give me a place in the Bible that tells us that the truthfulness to ourselves is the key to confessing our sins and being right with God. That's a good one. That's James chapter 1. Turn there. Verse 25. Well, actually, verse 22 is the context. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Now we're on the same subject again, aren't we? All right? Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Okay, how does that work? Tell me. Be hearers of the word and not, and be doers of the word, not hearers only. I gave you an illustration. One time I was talking to a teenager, and he was really going into the world. And he said, I read my Bible every day. Get it? He thought because he read the Bible, not because he obeyed the Bible, not because he obeyed the Bible, but because he read the Bible, he was right with God. It didn't matter if he wasn't obeying it. It was just that he read it. Okay? And that made him, in his own, his own heart said, oh, you're spiritual. You read the Bible every day. Okay? I remember witnessing to some, when we lived in Heartland, when we first came to Wisconsin, we were witnessing to this Catholic neighbor, and their response was, we read the Bible every day. And so because they read the Bible every day, they didn't have to be saved the Bible way. They could have their sins washed away by the Mass, and they could get to heaven by the seven Catholic sacraments because, why? They read the Bible every day. That made them spiritual. All right? Now, how many of us, even ourselves or even our children, will be in church today, and because we were in church today, we think we're okay? Right? That's the context, okay? And so if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass, for he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. Okay, so there's a purpose of looking in the mirror, and you know, that's to see if your hair is combed properly, or if something is, you know, if everything's in proper place. But to look at the Bible and not do any changes is to like look in the mirror and not fix anything. Okay? And this is a deception. Okay, but really the verse I was thinking of maybe could help me, help you. What passage scripture tells us the absolute necessity of truthfulness in the inward part? Al? That's a good one. Good. God requires truth and the inward parts. Yep. Where is it? How about Psalm 51? Okay, Psalm 51, let's see, where is it? Pardon me? I didn't hear what you said. Okay, verse 6. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Okay? And so he said that in order for him to confess his sins, he had to come to a place of honesty. And the number one place of honesty is with ourselves. And David was playing a game with himself about his sin. And he finally had to come to grips with reality of what was going on in his soul. Now, we would like to think that we're not like that. We'd like to think that we're not like that. If you talk to teenagers, they are experts at it. They are experts at lying to themselves. And they are experts at blaming other people for their problems. And they're experts at not being honest with themselves. And they don't like someone confronting them to force them to be honest with themselves. They don't want to be honest with themselves. Because if they were honest with themselves, then they would have to admit personal responsibility. Okay? You ever make your child tell the truth? You know, if you have inexperience as a parent, you will know that a child did something, and you will ask them, "Did you do that?" And they will say, "What? No, I didn't do that. I didn't say that." And you'll say, "You did," and they'll say, "I didn't." Now, typically, when you're dealing with children like that, you have two aspects. One is, if they don't tell the truth, now they're getting two spankings. One for doing wrong, and one for not telling the truth. Now they're in double trouble, okay? And so, many times you have to take a child and you have to say, okay, you're going to sit in this room and you're going to think about this. And you're going to think about it long enough until you are willing to tell the truth. I wonder, I think that some of parents of teenagers have maybe missed out on understanding how to deal with lying with children. You know what? When your child, just because they're 16 or 17, that doesn't mean they can lie. You know, when a parent believes what their teenager says in contradiction to an authority, you know who's failed? The parent has failed. You know, I say, this is kind of a harsh statement, but the Bible says this, if a ruler hearken to lies, all his servants are, do you know, can you fill in the blank? All his servants are wicked. What is it saying? If a ruler hearken to lies, all his servants are wicked. If a ruler believes lies, okay, what kind of people are going to be associated with him? Liars. Why? Okay, so here, think about it. This is pretty strong. But there's people who tell lies, and there's people who believe lies. They're not too much different. People who tell lies and people who believe lies. Really, there's not much difference. Your child tells you a lie and you believe it? That is a great incrimination against your character. That you will believe your child's lie. On the other hand, a good parent, when a child says a lie, they say, that's a lie. That's a lie. And they don't let them get away with it until they tell truth. You know, I find that as children get older, we become less able or willing to deal with their lies. Yes. Yeah, lying is a sin. Not only is lying a sin, the Bible says lying is an abomination. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. Okay? Now, if your child tells a lie about a teacher, what is the purpose of that lie?
To help
him. I'm going to try to quote a verse here from Proverbs. It's like I can't get it. But it's that lying lips cover up hatred. Lying lips cover up hatred. I can't, somebody can think of it in their own mind. But, okay, so let's put it this way. If you, according to the Bible, if you accuse somebody, okay, if you accuse somebody you accuse somebody of murder. What's the penalty in the Bible for murder?
Death.
Death. That's pretty serious, right? Okay. In the Bible, if someone accused someone of murder, now, just say you really hated somebody, and you accuse them of murder, and if you got away with it, what would happen to the person? They'd lose their life. So, pretty serious to accuse somebody of murder, right? So if you falsely accuse the person of murder and you were found out, maybe you can find the verse for me, Thomas, you found out that you had lied, falsely accused, what would happen to you? You would get death. Now, let's think about this. When a person tells a lie about an authority, and teenagers do that all the time, especially if their parents are not discerning parents, they missed it. They tell a lie about the teacher. Okay? Why do they tell a lie about the teacher? They hate them. Okay? They want to do what to their care, to their reputation? They want to destroy their reputation. Okay? So if you have a Christian teacher and you are successful at destroying their reputation, what have you done? You have committed character murder. So, because what value is a Christian teacher if people believe a lie that they have bad character? They'd have a hard time getting a job. Then it's implying that maybe they should be fired because they aren't a good teacher. They're causing trouble. Okay? Now, so, you know, so if you lie about a teacher or an authority, that's really serious, isn't it? In fact, you know, the Bible says, in the New Testament, says, against an elder receive not an accusation, except by two or three witnesses. Why? Because one person who has a loose mouth can say all sorts of things, can't they? And if they aren't dealt with, people start believing them. Right? People start believing them. Now, I don't know how we got onto this thing, but we're talking about deception. Okay? And self-deception. You know, self-deception is a very real issue. Okay? What's the verse?
I don't know where the verse. I couldn't find it. I was going to say something else.
Okay.
But I just know that when I was teaching in the Christian school in California, you had kids where they knew that their parents would back up the teacher, and kids where you knew that the parents would listen to whatever the kid was saying. And that the parents who thought they were helping their kids out by just listening to them and going with them against the teacher, it was devastating to the kids. It does not help the kids at all to let them think that they can get away with setting the teacher against the parents. It just really mm-hmm. hurts them.
Okay. Thomas said in his experience as a Christian teacher that parents who back up a child against authority, it hurts their children. My experience of 37 years in the ministry, I have never seen a child turn out that the parents believe them against authority. I have never seen a child who gets their parents, who the parents stand up against, with the child against authority. I've never seen one of them turn out for God. And there's another teacher of many years. That's the way it goes. Yes? Okay, very good. Proverbs 10:18. Read that a little bit louder. He that hideth hatred with lying lips, And he that uttereth a slander, what does it say? Is a fool. Okay? All right. Steve. Yeah, that's a good one. A lying tongue hateth those that are afflicted by it. Okay? So if your child is telling a lie about a teacher, what are they covering up? Hatred. Okay? Now, this is an important subject. Okay? According to Matthew, it says thou shalt not commit a murder, thou shalt not kill, but if thou art angry without a cause and thou hast what? Committed murder in your heart. Now, let me ask you a question. How can you raise a murderer? Pretty serious question, isn't it? How can you raise a murderer?
Allow anger.
What?
Anger, lying.
Allow hatred. And hatred is connected with lying lips, isn't it? And teach them revenge. Teach them revenge. Anger, hate, revenge. It doesn't happen by accident. You know what? People say this stuff just happens. No, it doesn't just happen. Teach a child hatred, teach them revenge and bitterness and uncontrolled anger, and guess what you produced?
Murder.
A murderer. Yeah? And I guarantee you, you go to these guys that go into the theater and shoot people, I guarantee you, those three or four things are true about their life. And they might even have had a parent who is just like them. You know, everybody else is wrong. Authority doesn't tell my child what to do. They have uncontrolled anger. Oh boy. You know what? It's a scary thing to be an authority nowadays. It's a scary thing to be an authority. Because there's a lot of angry children out there. A lot of angry people. Yes. Mm-hmm.
But I never totally, I want to say, never believed my kids, but there was always that little bit of doubt because they're children.
Well, they're still sinners.
Yeah, that's right.
You mean you think they're going to come out in the open and tell the whole story?
Right. And a lot of parents don't.
We don't even do that.
A lot of parents don't want to even have that little bit of doubt about what their kids are saying.
Uh-huh. You know what? Yeah. It's a lack of understanding of maybe themselves, and number two, it's a lack of understanding of their own sinful nature. Okay?
If a teacher is in the place of a parent in a school situation, because the parent's responsible to educate, setting the parents and teachers against each other is like setting a husband and wife against each other. It's a similar situation.
manipulation. Now, that doesn't mean the authorities are always right, but there's always a right way to approach them, okay? And you don't solve a problem by lying about them. You solve a problem by talking to them, not about them. Okay, Wally.
We see it so much in parents too, when they say to their kids, tell them you're sorry. First of all, they don't want to say it. And finally, the parents force them to say it. The kid says, I'm sorry. You know, it's only with his mouth he says it, but his heart does not hear. It's only godly sorrow that brings forth true repentance.
But, you know, and that is true, and we realize that. But do you realize how hard it is for a child to say, I'm sorry?
Oh. It applies to an adult the same way.
Right. Very, very hard. I mean, you take this little child and you say, you go say you're sorry. I tell you what, the reality is there. I mean, that's the last thing in the world that they want to say, you know? And so, yeah, it's just, many times it's just words. But let me tell you what, there's a real process that they have to go through even to say, I'm sorry. Okay? Even if they aren't. Even if they aren't. Okay? No, but it will help because the problem is pride. And that won't get them right with God, but they are learning what it takes to get right with God, and they're learning what it takes to get right with man. And what happens if a parent doesn't do that? They're 20 steps away rather than 5. Okay, wow, this is exciting. We didn't get very far today on our lesson. Okay, Tonda?
I'm sorry, I don't know where that verse is that you mentioned about the brother, you know, if you're angry with your brother without a cause.
It's Matthew 5.
How would proper anger be displayed? A parent might say, well, I was angry with that child because of what they did.
Well, let's just say that, let's do the opposite here, okay? So here's a person that, here's a person they just kind of brush up against this person, and the guy flies off the handle, okay? I mean, nothing, but you know what? They got their fists up, they're ready to fight. Well, what's it talking about? It's talking about hatred. That's what he's talking about, and this is the context of murder. Here's this person that this little incident is ready to, you know, we use the expression, they're ready to kill. You know? Boom! There's no cause. Okay? And it's just insignificant. Now, okay, you work at camp, Scott. So you got this kid there, and just tell me, label them, okay? You know, you just look at them askance, and boy, they're ready, you know? And look in their eyes. Their eyes, they're fit to kill, aren't they? That's what it's talking about, okay? This is the context of murder, okay? And there's that person, boom, okay? And maybe it's the opposite, you know. Maybe they've been confronted about something, and even properly. Oh, man, you know. This is serious. That's what we're talking about here. We're talking about, in that context, we're talking without a cause, okay? So you confront somebody about their sin, and they're ready to kill you, okay? They're ready to tell all the lies in the world they can about you, okay? That's pretty serious, isn't it? Okay, Mrs. Lane.
In Proverbs 6:16-19, it talks about the seven deadly sins. And the number two thing that God mentions is a lying tongue. And then the rest of the verses all tie into that, devising wicked imaginations and feet that run to mischief, false witnesses speaking lies and sowing discord. So it all ties into lies.
Mm-hmm.
And that the whole thing is they were just not taught to submit.
Okay, and we're talking about lying to themselves. Okay? Lying, and what is it? Lying to yourself is not being honest with God. That's what it is. Not being honest, not willing to let the Spirit of God search your heart. You know? And you know, any disagreement that a husband and wife have between themselves, there is never solution if one of those persons or both those persons are not willing to be honest with God. You know, you can win an argument, but that isn't going to solve anything. It's going to be solved when that person is honest with God and say, you know what, this was wrong before God. And that takes humility, okay? All right? And a couple hands here, we're almost done. We are almost done. Yes, Dominic? Yes, we're trying to give a good image when it isn't true. And again, that's related to pride. Okay? Yes, Christine?
When I look in the scriptures, I see the Pharisees coming against Jesus with unrighteous anger. And I see Jesus, you know, approaching the Pharisees from a righteous anger. You know, Jesus is always for holiness, and the Pharisees are always against holiness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's very good. Okay, that's very good. And they had anger without cause, didn't they? They were angry at the truth. Okay, they're angry at the truth. They were angry at someone dealing with their sin. You got a child that is angry when you deal with their sin. That's pretty serious. Okay? Because that is anger without cause, and that it can fit into this whole category was talking about murder, right? Because it's hatred. Okay? It's hatred. And lying lips cover up what? Hatred. A bitter person, boy, they're going to fly off the handle real fast, aren't they? Why? Because bitterness is related to what? Two things. Three things. Bitterness is related to lying. They won't take responsibility for what they've done. Bitterness is related to vengeance. And bitterness is related to hate. And do we have a problem with bitterness in our world today? No wonder we have such a problem with. You know, it isn't guns that we got a problem. You know what it is? We got a problem with hate and bitterness. We have a real problem with bitterness. And bitterness is blaming somebody else and not taking personal responsibility. That people say, God did, God allowed this. You know what? Maybe those people better check out what they did. You know? Maybe they better check out what they did. And maybe what they did is why it really happened. But it's easy to blame God, isn't it? Yes, Mike? There's the opposite, isn't it? Okay? And that is a choice. You know, is love, I have this wonderful emotional feeling about somebody else? No. That's Hollywood love. Love is a choice. It's a decision that we make because God said it. And that is why marriage can work, because it's a decision. Now, people today, they think that marriage is a feeling. And when the feeling goes away, then the marriage is over. No, the Bible says love, a marriage is a union as long as you live, and God requires that what they decide to do what? Love one another. Wow, that's a whole different definition, isn't it? We are, again, you know, TV and the movie industry is in control of people's thinking. And movies tell you that, you know, love is an emotion. And certainly there is emotion involved, but usually the emotion only follows the decision to love. Okay? The emotion follows the decision to love. And if you don't decide to love, well, then, guess what? The emotion's going to be gone pretty quick. Okay? All right, well, time's up. We didn't get very far in a lesson, but it's an important lesson. Okay? Lord, thank you, Lord, for the time. We were able to discuss a very important subject in the Bible. And we pray that, Lord, that we'll even realize the reality of that you are a holy God. And that you do not fellowship, Lord, with sin. You do not fellowship with lying. And that this is a very serious issue, Lord. And pray that you'd use these truths in our lives in Jesus' name. Amen.